Ain't this a beautiful sunny day? Amen. Praise the Lord. Buen venidos a todos. Amen. It's good to have each and every one of y'all here on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. Amen. You ask, what am I doing on the roof preaching? Amen. Believe it or not, it wasn't my idea. We had a leadership meeting, and I just told the leadership we need to do something new, something radical. And somehow or another, the idea was to preach from the roof of the church. Amen. So let's once again give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. I'm so excited here to be able to preach the gospel. Amen. I'm going to be a little mellow here this morning. Just 2 days ago, vertigo. I fell hitting the ground through vertigo. Everything started spinning. But I'm a little bit better now. But I'm going to be kind of careful in giving the word here this morning. And those that know me are probably saying, yeah, right, Pastor. Okay. But anyhow, it's good to be here. I want us to stand here this beautiful morning. I want to just pray over what's taking place there in Minneapolis through an awful death that took place that just had no reason to take place. We'll also pray for the country. It's even here in Milwaukee. And parses out. So we're just going to cover that, what took place in Minneapolis, and those that have been affected also as well with the coronavirus, amen. Those that have died, those that are currently sick right now. We could have been in the church having service, but I felt it best for us to be outside, for nobody to be in fear or nervous, amen, about the virus, that the Lord would be our focus here this afternoon, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We lift up the great city of Minneapolis, Lord Father God. And we pray for the family, Lord Father God. There, Lord Father God, that you would comfort them, Lord. That somehow through your word, through your grace and mercy, you would be able to come into their lives and bring that comfort, that peace that your word speaks of that surpasses all understanding. And we also pray for the country, Lord Father God, and other states that are being affected, Lord, by this death, Lord, that took place. And Father, we also cover, Lord Father God, those that have passed away through the coronavirus, those that are currently sick right now with the coronavirus. We pray for those that are sick that a radical healing would take place upon their lives. And here this day, Lord, ask that you put me to the side, that you grab the attention of your people, the focus of your people, and that for next few moments that their focus be on your word, be on you, Lord Father God, be on what you want to do here this beautiful Sunday morning, Lord Father God. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Thank you, Jesus. You may have your seats here this beautiful Sunday morning. Once again, we thank you for coming out on this beautiful, beautiful weather, beautiful sunny morning to church. Amen. If you're here for the very first time, we welcome you. Amen. Possibly next Sunday, we might be having church inside. If it's another beautiful day as it is today, I believe we should have church outside again. Amen? Amen. The volume of the speakers of the praise and the worship, you know that we get loud, amen, are being kept low, amen, to respect the neighborhood. We're having a service. We're not having a rally, amen. How many know at the rallies we crank up the volume, amen, for the whole neighborhood down the block to hear us, amen. But here this day, I believe the word is for each and every one of you all that are present here this day. I want to thank the leadership for doing a great job. You just might see a pulpit up here and a few speakers, But it was a lot of work to put on what is taking place right now, dealing with electronics and media. We're still on Facebook Live right now. Amen. So we've learned how to do it in the church. Now we've learned how to do it outside of the church. And I believe the Lord is growing the church in a maturity. Amen. Through the media. Amen. For I know there's people right now that are listening all the way from Texas, California, and other states right now via Facebook. So, but I want to most importantly thank you all for being here in person. Amen. In person. Once again, we're still in that theme of a time to build. We're still in that theme, a time to build, where God wants to use people. As he did in the very beginning, he's still looking for a man and a woman, a youth member, that he can work through with his grace and mercy, amen, and use a people like you and I. And the end times that we're living in right now, I believe it's an exciting time for the church. A very exciting time for the church to raise up, amen, to stand, amen, and to declare the goodness of the Lord. I believe here this day, the Lord is looking on. I got a pretty good view from the rooftop right now. But can you imagine his view? My view allows me to span the parking lot, but his view spans the world. His grace and mercy, his sovereignty, is able to see everything that is taking place here this Sunday morning, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And the good news here this day is that he's in control of everything. Even though at times it feels like he's not in control, and we have a tendency at times to lose control, and I want to let you know that that's okay, amen. All we need to know is that he don't lose control. He's always been in control. He's in control this morning, and if tomorrow's to come, he will be in control tomorrow morning. The title of the message, A Time to Build Through EGR. Amen. So if you're OVO, you know what EGR stands for. Amen. But some of you are saying, Pastor, you're going to have to spell it out for me. Amen. A Time to Build Through EGR. EGR simply means Extra Grace Required. Amen. Extra grace required. We're living in a time and day where extra grace is going to be required, not so much by the Lord, because it's always been there. If that was not a truth, you and I wouldn't be here. Extra grace required from your life and my life as we work with people that are heavily troubled, going through things they've never gone through in their life, facing battles for the first time within their lives. And I believe the only way that we're going to be able to give that EGR, that extra grace required, is going to be by us humbling ourselves. See, if you want to give extra grace to that person that you're covering, that you're praying for, that you're trying to see get saved in Christ, we're living in times where it's going to take EGR, extra grace required. How many know somebody right now that needs to be loved a little bit more? Not so much by the Lord, but through our lives. Extra grace required. And that's what I want to preach about here this beautiful Sunday morning from the rooftop. Facebook, we thank you for being there via Facebook, listening to the word here this day. I believe if you focus on what the Lord wants to say for you this day, that he's going to speak to you. Amen. I know you're in the comfort of your home right now, but I pray that for this moment that everything come to a standstill, that you may be able to hear what the Lord has for your life here this day. As we go to the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 17 through 26, I want to speak on a very familiar story where extra grace was required, where EGR was required. Once again, not by the Lord, but where extra grace was required by four men. And as we go to the book of Luke chapter 5, verse 17, reading clearly down to 26, as we follow along this day, amen. The Bible says, one day, while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. This was in a time at the very beginning work of Jesus. He was just getting his disciples. It was the very beginning work of the Lord, amen? And the very beginning of the work not only drew disciples, but the very beginning work of the Lord also drew the adversary. Amen? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law. See, they were really there to catch Jesus slipping. They weren't really there to hear the word as you and I are here to hear the word here this day. So the Bible reads that one day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee, Judea, and as well from Jerusalem. I want you to catch this next part. The religious people were coming from all over the place. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Verse 18 records, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. Once again, I'm reading out of the NLT translation, amen? The New Living Translation. Your translation might say a paralytic, amen? Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus. How many have ever tried to take someone to Jesus, amen? But they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went to the roof. Tell your neighbor that they went to the roof. And took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. But the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law said to themselves, they were thinking out loud, amen, who does he think he is? They obviously didn't know who he was, amen? Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? It was a heart problem they had. See, religion always has a heart problem. It might know what to say. It might know what to do. But religion on its own has a bad heart problem. He goes, why do you question this in your hearts? And he gave them a comparison of two things. He goes on to say, is it easier to say that your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk. So I, verse 24 says, will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And immediately, as everyone watched the man jump up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone, verse 26 says, everyone, including the religious leaders, the disciples, all that were there. The Bible records in verse 26 that everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, we have seen amazing things today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor, Lord Father God. Holy Ghost, we give you permission here this day to enter each and every one of our lives, each and every one of our thinking, each and every one of our hearts. And we ask that we be able to experience, Lord, amazing things this day that you are doing already. That by the end of this service, Lord Father God, we will be able to see what you're wanting to do, that we would be able to hear your voice speaking to each and every one of us as you did that paralyzed man. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Praise the Lord. In verse 17, the Bible says that the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law, que Dios te bendiga, hermano. Órale. This is live. We might get them next Sunday over here. Amen. One day, while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law were sitting nearby. We know that, I believe they started to come when they started to hear about the miracles that Jesus was doing, not at the end of his ministry, but at the very beginning of his ministry. And I believe that they were there to catch him slipping, but they were nearby, near enough to hear the teachings of Jesus. And I believe here this beautiful Sunday morning that you're near enough to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church of Victory Outreach, Milwaukee, on this beautiful Sunday morning. Amen? Why were they there? I believe the first reason that they were there was to catch Jesus slipping. Amen? But I really believe the reason that they were there, amen, is found in the end there of verse 17. They were there from all over the place because the Bible records, and the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. I believe that's why they were there from all over. The Pharisees, those of the law, those that were there looking to catch Jesus slipping were now eventually there, because the words he was speaking had power, had truth behind them. There was a momentum of healing taking place within the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. And how many know that when we first got saved, whether it was 20, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last year, when we first got saved, that Jesus was first moving within our lives. The excitement that was in our lives and how all we could do was talk about Jesus everywhere we went. We wanted to say how great Jesus was and what he was doing in our lives, that we were no longer drug addicts, that we were no longer drinking, that we no longer on the street corner, that we were no longer going back to prison, but that something new had taken place in our lives from the man called Jesus. Something took place. When we first got saved as those new converts, knowing nothing, it was the grace and the mercy of the Lord moving strongly within our lives and speaking to us even in the midst of our hardened hearts. His word would start to go forth and start to soften our hearts. And he would take us from the wayside. He would take us to the stony ground. And then he would take us to the place where there was proof of something growing. But then the Bible says the weeds, the cares of the world would come in and choke what Jesus was doing in that man's life, in that woman's life. And then there's that fourth plot of soil, that fourth type of the heart, amen, which is called a fertile ground, good ground, where it was able to produce 30, 60, and 100 fold of what Jesus was doing. And I believe as I speak here on this Sunday morning that there's men and women on that third plot of soil. There's growth in your life. You know Jesus is with you, but the bearing of the fruit is kind of hard to come by. I want to let you know that you're one step away from getting into fertile ground, that the grace and mercy of Jesus, if he got you on the wayside, if he got you to the stony ground, if he was able to get you to the place where the plant was growing, he can get you into fertile ground. And I believe there's many one step away from fertile ground here this day in producing good fruit. Proof that Jesus is within your life. I want some of you to go back and remember how on fire you were at one time when Jesus originally first saved your life. You didn't know no scripture. You didn't even know how to pray yet. But you were telling everybody about Jesus because it was his work that had started within your life. You didn't have to know much. See, that's what grace is. You don't have to know much, knowing that he knows all things, that he's able to do all things in any man's life, in any woman's life. And I believe the Lord, here this beautiful Sunday morning, is once again looking for that same man. Once again looking for that same woman that has kind of fizzed out in the things of the Lord, that is no longer talking about Jesus, no matter where you're at and how great he is and what he has done, and your faith speaking about what he's about to do. And I believe the Lord is looking for us to be that church in position. In position. I truly believe, I place here in my notes, in my spirit, that Jesus is once again wanting to move in your life like never before. Do you believe that here with me here this day? That Jesus is wanting to move in your life once again like never before. If I can have focus right now, if you need to be speaking, speak, but if you don't, I need focus here this day. I truly believe in my spirit that Jesus is wanting once again to move in your life like never before. If he was able to move in your life at the real beginning of your salvation with you knowing nothing, how much more now is Jesus able to move in and through your life once again with you knowing who he is and the purpose that he has placed within your life, the call upon your life. Friends, we're living in end times. We're living in end times right now.
And it's time to be done with the excuses. And it's time to build the temple of God. It's time to once again to be used by the Lord like never before. I believe it's going to take being in position to place people in position. It's hard to God, it's hard for God to use your life if you're not in position. And I believe what the Lord is wanting to do is to put you in position for you can put others in position of God's grace and mercy, for they can be radically saved no matter what they're caught up in here this day. The grace of God is greater. It's sufficient. And this is what we find in this message that I'm going to preach here this morning, of the four men bringing this man to Jesus through the roof. The church has become very comfortable. I believe this is the time that we need to stand up and run the good race, amen, and fight the good fight. It's a time for you and I, the church, those who know who Christ is, know what He's able to do in one's life, no matter where they've been, no matter what they've done. He's here with us this day. And it's going to take some radical faith in this end time that we're living in right now. It's going to take some EGR, some extra grace required upon our lives. We're going to have to give people a bigger cushion, more grace. You need to ask yourself, how long did it take you to get it right? On a good day, in obedience, how long did it take for you to get right, for you to get in position? And I believe too many times we too quickly judge people going the wrong way when we at one time used to be one of those going the wrong way. In verse 19, at the end of verse 19, the Bible records, amen, it says that then, these are the four men, then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd. Remember, they're doing this through the roof of the building that Jesus was sharing in. It was a packed out day when they were trying to get this paralyzed man to Jesus. And the Bible records that they let his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. I place here in my notes that we first need to know where Jesus is in order to bring people to Him. These four men, I believe, were in position. I believe that roof had a roof maybe as big as this roof. I don't know. Jesus could have been at the end of the building, in the middle, at the far back. All I know is that these four men knew where Jesus was at. They were in position. They knew where to start picking up the towel at. They knew where to make the new door that they were going to let this paralyzed man down on his sick bed. They knew where Jesus was. And you and I, the church, need to know where Jesus is at all times. And I want to let you know that Jesus abides within our lives, that wherever we're at, He is there with us. But I believe too many times we don't know that He's with us. We might be going through a trial or whatever it might be, and we feel that we're all alone, that nobody understands what we're going through. But Jesus is right there. Jesus is in the midst of the crowd, in the midst of this world. And he's in full control. He knows what you're going through. He knows where you're at. But do you know where he's at? Do you know about his saving grace? Do you know where Jesus is at? These four men, they knew where Jesus was. They had to make that hole in the ceiling count. Because the place was crowded. It was packed out in the house. The Bible says that there was a crowd, that there was no room for anybody to get in there. And I believe too many times we're just shooting in the dark, not really knowing what we're doing when it pertains to the things of the Lord. But these four men were in position, so they knew where the position of Jesus was within that building. They knew exactly where to make the hole on the roof so that when they lowered that sick man, he would come right before Jesus, the word of the Lord tells us. Verse 20 says that, so at this point, the man's before him. Jesus was giving the word. Everybody's saying, what the heck are they doing? It was somebody's house they were tearing up. Some of you might be saying, what the heck are you doing, Pastor Charlie, preaching from the roof? With vertigo right now. Some of you are watching on Facebook saying, do you not have no faith? Why ain't you having church inside the church? Because I want to let you know that our ministry is an evangelism ministry. It was birthed in prayer. It was birthed in the streets for those that were lost and bound. And by next week, we're going to be hitting a rally, a real troubled area in the city. We're going to have a rally. This is who we are. This is what we do. And this is why Jesus has saved us with his grace and mercy. We're a radical church. 23 years later in Christ, I haven't fizzed out. I'm still radical, on the cutting edge, on the roof, preaching this morning. The Bible says in verse 20, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. Seeing their faith, you would have thought the eyes of the Lord would have been about on the paralyzed man that was right in front of him, the Bible says. But Jesus was still looking at the roof, at the four men's faith that had lowered him down through the roof. Jesus is looking at you and I here this day. We know that the need is out there, and we know that the need is great. But Jesus, I believe, here this day is looking at his sons and daughters. He's looking at his church, the bride. And he's looking to see who has faith here this day. That if he was able to do it for us, why can't he do it for that person that you're thinking about right now that needs Jesus? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One of the neighbors is live. This ain't Memorex. This is live. Facebook, it says on their live. This ain't recorded. A year or two ago. It's live. It's fresh. It's for today. I believe the eyes of Jesus, as he was giving the word and this was taking place, that his eyes were on the roof. He heard the noise. He like everyone else, heard the noise, and then he was able to start seeing this man lowered through the roof like everyone else in the room was able to hear and see what Jesus was hearing and seeing. They were seeing the need and also seeing the need met. I believe that those that were in the building that day, that their eyes were on the paralyzed man when he was being lowered. Their eyes were on the paralyzed man. And I believe the only one that was still looking up was Jesus at the radical faith of these four men that were in position on the roof. I believe Jesus saw two things, not just their faith. He saw that they knew where he was in this packed out house of people. Jesus was thinking. He hears a noise, the sick man's coming in, and all his focus is on these four men because he already knew what he could do for the paralyzed man. But I believe Jesus here this Sunday morning is looking for what he can do not only for you, but what he can do through you. I believe that's his focus right now. It's the church. The Bible says that the poor will always have the poor. The poor will always be there. But what about the faith of the church? And I believe the eyes of Jesus were on these four men, because if it wasn't for these four men, that paralyzed man would have never made it into the house. I don't mind. I put here example. I don't mind. But there's still many people that bring people to me that needs help. And I'm okay when you bring me people that need help and I can minister and counsel them. I lay hands on them and give them a word. Place them in the rehab center. Get them out of town for they can get the help they need. I'm okay with doing that. I'm supposed to do that. I'm the pastor. But I believe, amen, where you should be able to bring these people right in front of Jesus to his grace and mercy, that you can do that at the workplace. You don't have to call the pastor. God has given you a spirit that he's given me. He's given you authority that he's given me. And I believe the Lord is looking at our faith here this Sunday morning. Not so much the need, like everybody else on the news is focused on the need. But I believe the focus of Jesus is on the faith of the church, the faith of his son and daughter. Where's your faith at here this Sunday morning? Should we not have a faith simply based on what Jesus has already done within our lives? Should there be a faith being stirred right now as I'm speaking to you? Of the things that you used to do when you were on fire for the Lord, and where the Lord was able to use you as an open door, not a closed door. Where he was able to operate through your life at any moment of the day. At 3 a.m. in the morning, he was able to call upon you because he knew even though you were asleep, you were in position to answer the call. We need to be able to bring people right in front of the presence and grace and mercy of the Lord, church. The Lord's focus is upon you and I here this day, not the need. The need is paralyzed. Sin has a way of paralyzing people from doing the right thing. Sin has a way of paralyzing people that want to do the right thing but can't do the right thing. And that's why we got to carry some people to the place and grace and mercy of Jesus. We got to put some work in. These men carried this man. The Bible does not record. It records in the NLT that he was a young man. It don't record if he weighed 300 pounds or 75 pounds. Nevertheless, it said that they carried that man to the rooftop. The second thing Jesus saw in these lives of these four men, not only that they were in position on the roof, but he saw their faith. Their faith that they had, that Jesus was able to do all things, which included this paralyzed young man. Does anybody know anybody here this Sunday morning that is paralyzed right now? And though your son and daughter can still walk and move and talk, they're paralyzed. And they need to be lifted up and brought to Jesus, picked up at their house. It might take four of you. It took four to bring this young man to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Whatever it takes in the world, we made it happen. We need now to make it happen through Jesus. The second thing Jesus saw was their faith. Position and faith brought the miracle to this young man's life. Even though he was paralyzed, he didn't have to do nothing. The paralyzed young man did nothing to receive his miracle. That's God's grace and mercy to the fullest. It took not only Jesus to breathe forth this miracle, because they couldn't get this man to Jesus. The house was packed out, the Bible records. Too many times we leave everything to Jesus. But Jesus needed four men that day. He didn't need a congregation of 20,000, 10,000, 200. On this particular day for a miracle to take place, he needed four men with radical faith within their lives. Do I have a man here this day with radical faith that's in position, that believes that Jesus did it for me, he can do it for anybody? Position and faith brought the miracle to this young man that was paralyzed that day. Jesus saw that their faith was radical. I put here, when faith is genuine. When faith is genuine, I mean the real deal faith. When faith is genuine, it will not only be seen by Jesus. Jesus spoke to that young man, amen. And he told him that he was, let me get to the wind blowing, it's okay. It's the Holy Ghost. Today is the birth of a Pentecost of the church, amen. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Your young man, your sins are forgiven." Seeing their faith, he told the young man, "Your sins are forgiven." Jesus was able to see that the faith of these four men was genuine. It was the real deal stuff. And I placed in my notes, when faith is genuine, it will not only be seen by Jesus, but by everybody. When that miracle took place, in the real beginning, Jesus was the only one that could see the faith of the four men, because he was the only one looking at the four while everyone was looking at the need, the paralyzed man. And then when the miracle took place, amen, they were all able to see faith in action. When faith is genuine in a man's life, in a woman's life, it will not only be seen by Jesus, but it will be able to be seen by everybody. That day, the packed out house, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were able to see faith and works in action that would bring the grace and the healing power of Jesus upon this young man's life. It was a faith that had works behind it. It wasn't a faith without works. In verse 20, the Bible reads, seeing their faith, Jesus said to them, young man, your sins are forgiven. I place here, their faith and hard work paid off. Their friend got saved. Their friend got healed that day. Police officer cruising the property right now. Praise the Lord. Nobody run. Nobody run. Don't front me out. Nobody run. It's just a cop circling the building right now saying, what are those bunch of radical people doing in a parking lot when it's the virus has already been ceased where they can be in the church? What are they doing outside of the church? Faith, a radical faith has brought us outside of the church. Their hard work and faith paid off. I want to show a third thing between the lines of what these men, these four men being in position, having faith, putting work in. What they allowed to take place, remember, they never said nothing. The paralyzed man never said nothing. But the Pharisees were on the side. Who do you think he is? The paralyzed man and the four men never said nothing. When your faith is genuine and your trust and belief in the Lord is strong, I always tell the leadership, the best word sometimes is the word not, no words at all. See, when the Lord is moving, you don't have to say nothing. The Pharisees were seeing the Lord move in the miraculous, and the signs, wonders, and miracles, and they were talking amongst each other. This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. The faith of these four men allowed Jesus to speak to this young man. See, too many times we're trying to save people and we force it down their throat, Jesus, and this is the last time, and I'm going to kick you out of the house. I promise this time. They do it again and again. Now there's a sweet aroma of marijuana in the air. Can you smell it? Praise the Lord. We're living in end times. Somebody's listening to a window saying, this is some good stuff. And they're not talking about what they're smoking. They're talking about what they're hearing. They're getting in the mood. Praise the Lord. These faith of these four men being in position in verse 20, allowed Jesus himself now to put all focus no longer on the position of the four men, the faith of the four men, but now, because that was aligned and in position, all of a sudden now Jesus places focus and his words upon the young man that had been brought down right before him. He didn't have to speak very loud. He said, young man, your sins are forgiven. The positioning and the faith of the four men allowed Jesus to speak to the man that was paralyzed. He didn't say, good job, guys. Because they were men of God, men in position, men that didn't need a pat in the back. He saw their faith. He didn't say nothing to the four men, but he was looking at them. And I believe we're living an EGR, extra grace required time that we live in. People need to be talked to. They need to be pampered. We got to do it now. It's the time and age that we live in right now that we got to give a little EGR. Back in the days, Pastor, we never had to do this. We weren't treated like this. Yeah, but we're not back in the days. We're in the end times. And Jesus was able to speak to this young man that his sins were forgiven. Something that would not only physically heal him, but spiritually heal him and change the rest of his life. That's why, church, we need faith here this day. Because our faith in Jesus has the power to allow him to speak healing to whomever that you love that needs to be saved and healed right now. That's the power of the faith that God has given your life and my life. As we step in with faith and works, and Jesus is always in position. When we operate in faith and works in God's grace and mercy, it allows God, not you or I, that have been talking to the need, talking to that same son or daughter forever. It feels like forever. And there's still no results. There's still no change. But on this day, Jesus spoke to this young man that was paralyzed. Your sins have been forgiven. I place in my notes here that there's just some things. Amen. There's just some things. Give me 1 second. I was on it. I brought some weights up here to put on the pages because I knew they were going to fly around. But they slid down, so I got to, next Sunday, I'm going to get it right. It says, your sins have been forgiven. I put here, there's some things that Jesus must do first in order to bring your healing. There's some things that first need to take place in your life for the focus and faith to be in Jesus, for him to do what he wants to do in that son's life, that daughter's life, that mom, that dad, that grandma, that person that desperately needs Jesus right now. We here this beautiful afternoon know that Jesus is able, that his grace and mercy is able to save any man, any woman. In verse 21 through 26, Jesus has just said to the man, your sins are forgiven. 21 says, but the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law said to themselves, psst, 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 psst. Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus responds in verse 22. Jesus knew what they were thinking. He knows what you're thinking right now. Jesus knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what you're thinking. In that case that's in your house that you just think will never change, that person just ain't never going to change. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're thinking. Jesus knew what they're thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts?" If the alley could be cleared, please. That way cars can continue flowing through. But the Pharisees, 23, Jesus says, "Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven, one, or to stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up." Now he's giving him a command. He first told him, "Your sins are forgiven." See, anytime the Lord forgives a man or a woman, there will be a command that follows. Amen? And he tells the man, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Verse 26 says, everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, "We have seen amazing things today." How many know it's one thing to say something, and it's another thing to back it up? The Pharisees had problems when he just forgave them of his sins. So he told them, what's easier, for me to speak something or for it to happen, to tell him to pick up his mat and walk? See, the words of Jesus, amen, he not only has the right words, religion has the right words, but religion kills. Jesus not only had the right words, he also walked the talk. Here this day, I believe with all my heart that what the Lord is looking for is faith. The Bible says that he has allotted each and every one of us a measure of faith. He's given us all a measure of faith to believe in something. I believed in many things that were taking my life. But today my life is in Jesus. Today my life is no longer one of drug addiction. Over 23 years now, I haven't touched a drug or a drop of alcohol, a cigarette, married for 22 years now. Jesus has done a miracle, and this one-time paralyzed man in doing what Christ had called me to do from the very beginning. And I believe there is power and authority in the church based on the faith and the grace that the Lord has given us to operate in. There's an authority in your life, an authority in my life here this day. Not only to talk good, but to be able to walk when we talk. And that day, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, his own disciples, the crowd, all of them were astonished. They were able to see the faith and the faith in motion. And then they were able to see the grace and mercy upon a young man's life that never said nothing. He didn't even move on that mat. But when the Lord spoke the word, the Bible says he jumped off that mat and he was gone. The problem is sometimes Jesus heals us and we're gone once again doing the same old thing instead of being used by him. We have some balloons here this day as Sister Connie makes her way, and the worship team as well, please. You're able to come, hear the word today, get a suntan. Hay unos que necesitan sol, andan de güeros ahorita. Sun is a good thing. I might be a little browner than you this day because I've been working in the sun, amen? That's a good thing. Here this day as we stand. You can look at the news and we can see that there's a great need out there and that it's getting greater. It almost looks like on the news that the president, all the strategy of the governor and so on and so on, is not working. Because it wasn't meant to work. What was meant to work was the house of God. The problem with today's society is not based on who the president is, who the alderman is, who the mayor is, but it's based on who's the church this day. The Pharisee says, who does this man think he is? You got to know who you are in Jesus. You got to know here this day where he's at, so that you can take that person, whoever he or she may be, right in front of the presence of the Lord. For he can speak to them, him very self. I believe too many times we do all the talking and Jesus is trying to step in. Because he got a word that's able to heal any man, any woman. We have a rehab with men in it that have been healed by the power of Jesus, that came to us all messed up, but today are in their right minds. Ain't perfect, but they're going in the right direction to become perfect one day in heaven in Christ Jesus. Here this day, the Lord is not looking at what you're driving. He's not looking at where you live. He's not looking at what you're wearing here this day. He's looking at your faith that he has given you to lead others unto him, for he can speak healing into their lives. Amen. If you can't do it, just cut it with the scissors. Okay. Praise the Lord. What's the pastor doing holding balloons? I don't know, but the Lord's going to talk to me right now. Amen. Don't give me too many, Connie, because these are full of helium. They might take me up. I don't know. A rapture might take place. Where'd the pastor go? It was the helium balloons. No, it wasn't. It was the Lord. No, it was the helium balloons. I know what you're thinking. You got them balloons ready to go, Connie? All right. Come on, man. Here this day, I want you to think of something here this day. I want you to think on something here this day that you don't want no longer in your life. You want to get back to where you used to be, where you had a faith. You were bringing people to church. You were excited to bring people to church. You couldn't wait for Sunday service, Friday, Sunday, Wednesday service, rally after the service on Sunday. We put in hours in the streets, people. We've been called to reach the lost and the bound. You got them? Amen. I'm going back to my lapel. Going back to my lapel sound, man. Lord, hallelujah. Are we on? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Praise the Lord. Give me them balloons. Whatever it is right now. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, there's something. This was service was the rooftop release. Rooftop release. Here this day, we're going to release unto the Lord whatever's been blocking our faith from allowing Jesus to speak to our sons and daughters. No longer us, but Jesus speaking to them through His grace and mercy. Jesus speaking to them in the midst of their bondage. We need Jesus to speak to them here this day. Whatever it is, because He's looking at our faith. There's nothing else Jesus is looking at right now. He's looking at our faith. The Bible records the three type of faith. No faith, little faith, and great faith. And I believe He's looking at a people right now that He saved, amen, to have radical great faith like these four men that were preached about in the Bible here this day. Are you ready? Are you ready to release unto Jesus? For He can speak to your sons and daughters. For He can speak to the drug addict, those that are lost and bound. Whatever it is, we're going to release it right now. Whatever it is, 1, 2, 3. Let it go, let it go. Let it go. Whatever's been hindering your faith, let it go. Jesus is wanting to speak on your behalf. He's wanting to answer your prayers for your sons and daughters. Let Jesus speak by the vehicle of your faith. Let Jesus speak. Sometimes we need to stop speaking, stop yelling. The four men never said a word. Jesus only had to say a few words. He said a few words to the paralyzed man, but He had to speak so much more to the religious folks. And I'm done with talking to the religious folks and spending my time on religious folks. I want genuine faith. Jesus is looking for genuine faith so that He may be able to speak here this day. I want you to just raise your hands here this day. Praise the Lord. Father, here this day, we thank You, we love You. We release what's been hindering our faith, Lord. We release what's been keeping us paralyzed as sons and daughters of Yours. And we ask, Lord, here this day, we ask here this day, Lord, that our faith be loosened, Lord. That it be excited here this day with that son or daughter that we're troubled about, Lord, Father God. Our faith is going to allow You to speak to them, Lord. And what You tell them to do, they're going to do it, Lord, as this paralyzed young man jumped off that mat and ran all the way home, Lord, Father God, praising You. We thank You for those four men on the rooftop, Lord, that knew where You were at, that knew what to do without saying a word. Touch every man here. touch every woman here, Lord Father God. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you stir their faith, Lord. That you're greater than whatever they're facing. That you're greater than whatever their children are facing. That your grace and mercy is greater, Lord Father God. And that all you're looking for is an open window of opportunity to speak that word of healing unto their lives. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you. And we all say in one accord here this day, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. I believe the Lord has spoken here this day. There's sirens halfway up the block here. Something's taking place right down the street. But that's always been there. I want you all to get excited. The Lord is speaking right now. Next Sunday, we might be in the church. If it's a beautiful day, we're going to be out here again, okay? Are you okay with that? I really believe in my spirit that if we have faith in the Lord and we give a little bit of that, if we EGR, extra grace required, to that son or daughter, that Jesus is going to speak to them. Jesus is going to speak to them. Jesus knew what that man needed first, and it wasn't a physical healing. It was a spiritual healing of the sin within his life. Then came the physical healing. Too many times we're looking for Jesus to do certain things the way we see it. We're looking for a physical healing. He's saying, nah, that's not the problem. The problem is sin. The root is sin. But the good news here this day is that the Lord has conquered the sin of the world. He's paid the price in full, amen? Let's invite somebody here this next Friday service online and Sunday to come out here. And let's pack the house out. And let's bring the paralyzed sinners right in front of the presence of Jesus, amen? Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Once again, Facebook, we thank you for being on board with us today. The Lord is moving. There's some momentum taking place, and we want you to be a part of it. We invite you for next weekend services. God bless you, and have a beautiful, beautiful Sunday afternoon. Hallelujah.